Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. And your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories. On Twitter at Locked On Bulls, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Bulls _ Pep.
People have their opinion.
What other falsehoods are out there?
A lot of the perception things about us.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
Rebuilds are difficult. Sometimes it takes years and years. I still believe, given a really good offseason with this draft pick that we have coming and with our ability to get some veteran players in here alongside these young guys, we can make a substantial leap.
Kick back, relax. Locked On Bulls starts now.
My job is to prepare the child for the road, not the road for the child. And these guys are men.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Matt Peck, also host of Bulls Outsiders on NBC Sports Chicago, following every Bulls game this season. You can follow me on Twitter at Bulls _ Peck. My co-host Jordan Malley is on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, and you can find us on Twitter at Locked On Bulls. You can also hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Drop us a message there. You can email us, LockedOnBulls@gmail.com. And of course, our text and voicemail line, always there for you, our fellow Bulls fans, at 331-979-1369. Took a bunch of text messages in yesterday's mailbag episode, so if you haven't listened to that, go back and check that out. Today's show, wanted to spend some time breaking down a few different thoughts from the Bulls' win over the Pistons on Wednesday night. A much-needed win to halt the Bulls' current three-game losing streak. And a much-needed breakout game from Lauri Markkanen. Maybe we saw his slump end in this victory. We also saw a new addition to the starting lineup, Shaq Harrison, another Boylan favorite, getting some big run in that game with the absences of not only Otto Porter Jr., but now Chandler Hutchison. And, of course, also the special moments that we saw off the court as part of last night's game and entertainment. The Bulls honoring longtime Chicago Bull Luol Deng, recently announced his retirement, retired with a one-day contract with the Bulls, and a lot of his former teammates from the Baby Bulls era and the late 2000s, early 2010s Bulls teams were all in attendance to show some love to Luol Deng. And of course, being that the Pistons were in town, that also meant that D. Rose was in town too. So a night of nostalgia and a much-needed win for the Bulls. But let's start with the simplicity of a win playing against a terrible Pistons team. Look, I'm not all that impressed. I'm just being honest. We had beaten this Pistons team once before this season already, and that one did come without the services of Blake Griffin, who's been battling some knee and some hamstring issues already this season. He did play. This was his second game back after his most recent absence, but he clearly looked like a player who was not playing at full strength. Blake Griffin played 30 minutes, but was a very inefficient 4 of 15 from the field for only 15 points, 8 rebounds. He looked like the corpse of Blake Griffin. I think actually having him on the floor helped the Bulls more than it hurt them. Andre Drummond, who put 25 and 24 on the Bulls in their first meeting this season, per usual, had an off night this time around, just 6 points and 14 rebounds, and he fouled out late in this game after playing 34 minutes. Derrick Rose scored a team-high 18 off the bench. It looked like when he had his first stint in the first quarter, things might go the same way that they did the first time the Bulls and Pistons played, where it was close, back and forth, and anytime Derrick Rose came onto the floor, whatever lead the Bulls had, Derrick and the guys he was playing with just made that lead disappear. That's kind of how that first game against Detroit went, and it certainly looked, when D. Rose had his first stint, that here we go again. It was going to be the same thing, because the Bulls had a sizable lead when Rose checked in, and Rose makes a couple of buckets, makes a couple of nice plays, and all of a sudden the Bulls' lead shrank. So I guess, you know, at the very least, it was nice to see the Bulls hold off the Pistons, and they didn't really let them come back into this game. at any point. The lead was never really threatened. Once the Bulls got into the second half, the Bulls beat the Pistons 25-16 in the third quarter and 25-18 in the fourth quarter to hold off Detroit. The Pistons made a little run like middle of the fourth quarter that actually caused Boylan to call a timeout when I think they had trimmed the lead to like, you know, 13 or 15 or something like that. But then the Bulls come back out, make a couple of buckets, a couple of stops, and that was that. But look, I mean, if you can't beat the Pistons when Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond are both playing poorly, then who can you beat? The Pistons shot 8 of 23 for 24% from behind the three-point line. They only had 28 made field goals total on the night. 89 points. If you want to give the Bulls defense some credit for that, fine. But I'm not giving them all the credit for that. The Pistons played like crap, and the Pistons are a bad team. And so I was kind of saying a little bit about this on Outsiders last night. Like, I know that a lot of these fourth quarter collapses and losses when the Bulls are playing, you know, respectable opponents like Milwaukee or even Brooklyn, even though they didn't have Kyrie, they're still a pretty good team. Like, the close losses to good competition, to me, as frustrating as they are a better sign that the Bulls actually can contend, well, not contend, but can compete on any given night than it does to say, oh, cool, we beat a terrible Pistons team for the second time this season. Two of your five wins are against that pathetic Pistons team. So excuse me if I'm not jumping for joy about that. The Bulls beat a bad team. Good for them. What I am jumping for joy about, at least for now, is the slump-busting performance we hope we saw from one Lauri Markkanen. In 29 minutes, Markkanen went 7 of 14 from the field, including 3 of 4 behind the three-point line, including a pretty epic four-point play that actually turned into a six-point play because the Bulls got side out of bounds because Markkanen was not allowed to land because the defender got up underneath him on the three that he made. 7 of 11 from the free throw line, added 6 rebounds, a couple of blocks, and a team high, a game high, 24 points. We saw Markkanen knock down some threes. We saw Markkanen continue to try to reassert himself, you know, attacking the basket. Saw a couple of nice dunks where he was the trailer on the play. Satoransky had a couple of nice feeds to the trailing Markkanen. And Markkanen said after the game, it was just, you know, it feels like a weight lifted. Nice to just see some go in because he's been shooting so horribly from the outside. And maybe, you know, one affects the other affects the other. Like, he can't even score at the rim while he's been going through the shooting slump. So hopefully that gives Markkanen some level of confidence that he was clearly lacking and clearly needed. You know, I had Bulls fans asking me, like, should we send Lowry to the G League for a couple of games to get his confidence up? Like, Lauri freaking Markkanen, all-rookie team, a guy who, you know, was trying to build upon his rookie and second season averages to the point where another modest increase in those numbers and we could see Lowry be a legit 20-10 player this season. That's what we were expecting. A 20-10 player in the NBA, and people were talking about sending him to the G League. So, look, it's one decent game against a bad team. But if that's what Lowry needed to get going, then we'll take it. And right now, I know that a lot of Bulls fans are, like, equally worried about Markkanen and LaVine, who are supposed to be the best players on this team. Markkanen breakout night happened on the same night when Zach LaVine was 2 for 11 for 5 points and had his first game failing to score at least 10 points since like January of last season. So that's not great. Ideally, you want Markkanen and LaVine performing well, and we haven't really seen a game like that yet where Markkanen and LaVine both play well. But right now, Markkanen was the one more in sore need of having a decent game, having a night where he can just see the ball go through the hoop a few times to try and knock off some of these yips, some of this rust, whatever it is that's plaguing Lowry. And of course, you want to see him knocking down that three ball because that's a big part of his game. So being 3 or 4 on the night, thank God. We needed that. But we also need him to continue to show that aggression. And he didn't make all of his looks at the rim, but he did the best with a number of them. And at least he's trying to reassert himself as a guy who can score in all three levels of the court. So I will take that. I will gladly take that. Bad opponent who had a bad night. Yes. But whatever the other variables were, we know one thing for sure. Markkanen needed a decent game, and we finally got one. This was his first game with 20 or more points since the season opener against Charlotte when he dropped in 35, and Bulls fans were saying, damn, lost a game that we probably should have won, but look at Lauri Markkanen. And then between then and now, last night, there was just growing and growing and growing panic about Lauri Markkanen and maybe the fact that he's not the player that we all hoped he could be. So I am telling myself right now, okay, take a deep breath. We saw better things from Markkanen. We saw some promise from Markkanen. I am nowhere close to pushing the panic trade button on Lowry. I know a lot of Bulls fans were starting to feel that way. I don't know if those who were feeling that way had their minds changed at all by this, decent, slightly above average performance from Markkanen. But for me, at least, I was hoping that it's the first step to seeing more of what we expect from Lowry as opposed to being consistently disappointed every night. Before we move to the night that Shaq Harrison had in his first real minutes of the season, wanted to let our Locked On Bulls listeners know about their opportunities to make some money with MyBookie. Attention, past, present, and future MyBookie players. During Thanksgiving week, MyBookie is offering a risk-free bet on the Bears-Lions game. Simply choose a team against the spread for up to $250. If you win, congrats! You've got extra holiday spending money. And if you lose, congratulations to you as well, because MyBookie will give you all of your money back. It's a no-brainer because you literally cannot lose. It's no risk, all gravy. It doesn't matter whether you're an experienced player or a first-time customer, MyBookie welcomes all to come play, so quit waiting around and sign up today. Do you find yourself wanting to sports bet but have lots of questions? Don't sweat it. MyBookie's patient customer service team can walk you through the whole process, and the best part, if you join this Thanksgiving week, you'll still have one last shot to take advantage of their incredible sign-up offer. Just log on to MyBookie.ag and make your first deposit with promo code LOCKEDONNBA, and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar to jumpstart your bankroll, and that's on top of the risk-free bet. Let me repeat, that's a guaranteed deposit match and a risk-free bet for Thanksgiving only. So if you're a true football fan, you don't want to let this opportunity pass you by. You simply can't lose. Make sure to do your part to support your team this season. Hop on the gravy train and get in on the action with MyBookie. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, with that, the other big storyline for the Bulls beating the Pistons for the second time this season Wednesday night was, of course, the insertion of Shaq Harrison into the starting lineup. Otto Porter Jr., the bruised bone in his foot, still out for at least 2 more weeks, and we got word leading up to game time that Chandler Hutchison, his backup, was also a scratch in this game because of sore shins, and Boylan offered little clarity on the timetable for Hutchison's return with that ailment. So, of course, what should we have expected other than Jim Boylan's other favorite student, aside Ryan Arcidiacono, Shaq Harrison, to get the start? Not that young sliding to the three, not Denzel Valentine. We'll get to that in a second. Shaq Harrison, who Boylan glowed about before the game and then glowed about more after the game. And look, to Shaq Harrison's credit, he had himself a decent game. In 26 minutes as a starter, he had 15 points on 7-12 from the field, hit one of his 2 3-point attempts, grabbed 11 rebounds, dished out 5 assists, had 3 steals, and a block. Shaq Harrison did a little bit of everything. And that is, I think, one of the reasons that Boylan likes this guy so much. He's a effort in all categories kind of player. It is the same reason that Boylan loves Archie. And, like, he had that weird comment before the game talking about how, you know, Shaq Harrison, like, you know, he's not only such a gifted athlete, and talking about the Bulls, you know, strength and conditioning team, talking about Shaq being, like, one of the top five best, like, metrics of athleticism of anybody they've ever seen. But also the fact that, like, he used to play football and that somehow helps him play basketball. I don't know. You know, Boylan says Boylan stuff. And then Shaq Harrison gets out there and shows what he can do in a variety of ways. You know, he was crashing the boards, hustling for loose balls, and honestly, like, knocking down a variety of pretty impressive buckets. Made, as I mentioned, he made a three. He's never really been a great three-point shooter. And I think it was his last bucket of the night where he went high off the glass on a really difficult shot from the left elbow. Like, things you don't expect to see from Shaq Harrison offensively. It's more so the rebounds, the hard defense, and the fact that for a guy with his length, who's actually a point guard, technically, he got the nod to start at the three, and it's something we saw the Bulls do a lot last season. When this roster was so depleted and so shorthanded, Boylan entrusted Shaq Harrison, a guard, with a lot of minutes at the three. And heck, I mean, we've seen Boylan do that with Archie, even this season when the Bulls have been shorthanded, because I think he trusts a lot of these guys more than he trusts some of the front court pieces that they have. So Shaq Harrison had a good night, and he, you know, took advantage of the opportunity that was given to him. And, you know, Boylan said he's a pro, he stays ready. I'm not at all surprised that he had the game that he had. So kudos to Shaq Harrison. And he was a very positive impact player on this game. He had plus 29 in the plus-minus column. Best plus-minus of anybody on the floor that night. So good for him. It's not ideal to me that we're sitting here listening to our coach talk about the ways that Shaq Harrison or the ways that a Ryan Arcidiacono can impact the game, because, yes, it's nice to have hustle players. Yes, every roster needs hustle players, but they're not supposed to be your best players. At least we saw a decent night from Lowry, but Archie and Shaq being the most efficient players on this team is not a good thing. As our buddy Ricky O'Donnell from SB Nation was tweeting out during this game, it is not a good sign, and it's everything you need to know about the Bulls and where they are right now, that Shaq Harrison was, like, the most valuable player on the floor last night, or at least one of them. That's not a good thing. It's not a discredit to Shaq, because he did have himself a very strong game. But as a whole, and where this team is, the fact that we're saying, oh, man, Shaq Harrison, just like Archie, you know, making positive impact plays, being net positive players on this team, that's not good. You're not trying to build a rebuild with Shaq Harrison and Archie Diacono. You're trying to build a rebuild, or at least we thought, with Markkanen and Levine and Wendell. So that's not great. Kudos to a player for performing well, but that's not great. And then here, of course, is the kicker. Denzel Valentine. What is this dude doing on this roster? If Jim Boylan finds him unusable in a game where he has no Otto Porter Jr. and no Chandler Hutchison, who is, again, younger and has less experience in the NBA than Denzel Valentine does, against a Pistons team that is thinner and weaker at the wing than the Bulls are, probably one of the few teams, maybe the only team in the league that has less wing depth and strength at that position than the Bulls do, Denzel Valentine can't even get into the game when you have no Otto and no Hutch. Shaq Harrison gets the start, playing the three as a guard, and you don't even get Valentine in the back end of the rotation. You don't even get Valentine garbage time minutes in a game the Bulls won comfortably. What does that say about how little Jim Boylan values Denzel Valentine? What did Denzel Valentine do, or what does he not do, that he is so deeply in Jim Boylan's doghouse? And this is one of the gripes that Bulls fans are starting to have with Boylan, and I think it's a valid one. This dude clearly plays favorites. The favoritism that he shows to a player like Archie Diacono or Shaq Harrison, who gets a start after having no real minutes this season. And then a player like Denzel Valentine, who, yes, is coming off of a completely missed season, coming off of off-season surgery, but from all accounts that media and fans have heard, is theoretically healthy and ready to play, who has gotten some run in G League, who didn't have a great preseason performance-wise, but at least was theoretically out there playing and healthy in the preseason, is unplayable. If Boylan thinks he is unplayable, and the Bulls front office do actually trust in Jim Boylan's opinion and his talent evaluation as this team's head coach, then what the fuck is Valentine doing here? Because all you're doing is wasting a roster spot. If he is that unplayable in the mind of the coach, who theoretically, as we heard him say from the horse's mouth, I've never felt more supported than ever than I do right now by this Bulls front office. If they believe in Jim Boylan and his talent evaluation, and Jim Boylan thinks that Valentine is unplayable in garbage time minutes of a blowout win, what are we doing here? What is Denzel Valentine doing here, other than wasting a roster spot? Trade him if you can. Shop him. Sell him. Or, by God, waive him if you can't trade him. Because all you're doing right now is wasting a roster spot. And guess what? The wing depth is still an issue. Jamal Crawford is still unsigned. Not really like a true wing, but could provide some pretty awesome veteran leadership, not to mention some solid scoring off the bench. What are the Bulls doing? Denzel Valentine is just sitting there on a bench seat, doing nothing. Boylan, why are they keeping him around? So Boylan has somebody to, like, give dirty looks to? So Boylan has a way to look like, an authoritative figure? Well, why isn't Denzel Valentine playing? Because I said so. Is that why he's still here? To serve a purpose? To prove to everyone that Jim Boylan is the boss? That Jim Boylan wears the pants here? And what Jim Boylan says goes? Because if that's the only reason I can think of for Denzel Valentine still being on this roster, if he's actually that unplayable, especially for a team that has really struggled shooting the three so far this season, and if there's one thing Valentine can give you, it's shooting threes. So what the actual fuck is he still doing here if Boylan deems him to be that unplayable? And we have to listen to Jim Boylan after the game talk glowingly about Shaq Harrison, saying, it's my buddy Tom Izzo, who I've worked with in the past, and he has, he's got a lot of great sayings, but one of them is players play, tough players win, PPTPW. And talking about Shaq Harrison when referencing that Tom Izzo quote. You know who played for Tom Izzo? Denzel Valentine. Was that a veiled shot at Denzel from Jim? Or was he not really connecting the dots when he was like, hey, you know what? I'm going to use that old Tom Izzo quote tonight while I'm showering Shaq Harrison with praise. Either way, it is hilarious that we have to hear Jim Boylan say another, and it's not even a Jim Boylanism, it's a Tom Izzoism that he just felt like stealing for a night, to compliment a player while there is a Tom Izzo pupil, a Tom Izzo disciple, rotting on his bench who can't even get garbage time minutes in a blowout win. What the hell are we doing here, other than wasting a roster spot and allowing Jim Boylan to feel some semblance of authority over this team? I don't know. It's crazy. All right, before we wrap up today's show with some thoughts on the Bulls nostalgia night that happened on Wednesday at the UC, just wanted to give a shout-out to our friends at Audible. Audible has the world's largest selection of audiobooks and audio entertainment. Start listening with a 30-day Audible trial. Choose one audiobook and two Audible originals absolutely free. Visit audible.com/lockedonNBA to go check out that 30-day free trial. And if you're listening on the go, no worries. You can always visit this offer and all other offers from the Locked On sponsors at lockedonpodcast.com/offers. So, the other big story of this Bulls-Pistons game from Wednesday night, not only Derrick Rose's second homecoming already this season as a member of the Detroit Pistons, but Luol Deng being honored during the game as a recently retired NBA player and a member of a lot of great Chicago Bulls teams who the Bulls brought in on a one-day contract to officially retire as a Chicago Bull. And I think it says a lot about Luol that he wanted to do this and felt that despite being traded and the different spots he had at the back end of his career, that he felt that he was a Chicago Bull first and foremost, and that this is where he wanted to make things come full circle. This is where it began, and it's nice that the Bulls as an organization were giving him this honor, because I think that despite all of the trials and tribulations that Luol and this front office and ownership group went through, notably some of the ways in which maybe Luol was underappreciated, or certainly the whole Spinal Tap incident, mistreated, misdiagnosed, nearly killed. All water under the bridge. Let's come have a Luol Deng celebration night. But I mean, truly, it was beautiful to see. I don't know that there are many people beyond the dynasty years and Derek and Joakim that you can say meant more to this organization than Luol Deng has. He is a consummate pro. Always was the guy to do the little things. You know, Tom Thibodeau in the Tibbs years always referred to Luol as their glue guy, and that was right in every sense of the word. And he bridged the gap between the baby Bulls and the D Rose MVP Bulls that were, you know, becoming actual championship contenders before the wheels fell off. But you know, everybody wonders when talking about the most important Bulls in this franchise history and using big moments to define who these Bulls, you know, these great Bulls of history are. Of course, Derrick Rose has plenty of those, and even a player like Ben Gordon, who was in attendance last night, has some of those. And, you know, some people say, well, Luol Deng, yeah, he was always a good role player on those Bulls teams, but he never really had, like, a big moment. You know, some people point to the three he made late in the game to bury the Heat for the season sweep, the regular season sweep, in that 10-11 season when the Bulls were the one seed and went on to lose to Miami in the conference finals. To me, another one that often goes overlooked when it comes to Luol is the fact that he had a dynamite series against the Heat, but not the Heatles, LeBron and Bosh Heat, but the defending champion, Wade and Shaq Heat. After they had won their title in 2006, the next year, in the first round of the playoffs, Luol Deng led the baby Bulls to sweeping out the defending champion Heat. It was a fun series to watch. You had Luol, you had Ben Gordon, you had young Kirk Heinrich, and all those scrappy Bulls knocking off the Miami Heat. Good old Andres Nocioni. Like, that was a fun young team. And Luol in that series, I think he averaged like 26 and 9 and like 5 and 3 or something crazy like that. I mean, he was a force in that series as still a fairly young player in the league, knocking off the defending champs. Like, Ben Gordon had a good series. Luol Deng had an equally great series when the Bulls, completely out of nowhere and unexpected as a young, untested team, knocked off Wade Shaq in the defending champion Heat. I will always remember that series fondly, and Luol Deng was a big reason for that. And then he was, by the time D Rose and Joakim came around and they added some of these other complimentary pieces, he was unquestionably a leader, a vocal leader and a veteran that the younger players on that those 2009, 2010, 2011 Bulls teams trusted, counted on, looked to for leadership on and off the floor. Luol Deng meant a lot to those Bulls teams that, since the dynasty ended, were the only semblance of hope and relevance that this fan base has felt. And I think that he has gone underappreciated. So it was nice to see him get that honor. And, of course, having all of, not all of, but lots of his former teammates in attendance was really fun to see. Ben Gordon was in the house. Of course, Joakim was in the house rocking that amazing purple bandana look that he rocks all the time. And also, you saw Gennaro Pargo. You saw John Lucas III. Loved me JL3 back in some of his scrappy games as a member of those Bulls Tibbs teams. Tyrus Thomas was there. Nazi Muhammad, the great LeBron shover of 2013, was there. Even Aaron Gray, blast from the past. Wonder what he's been up to. But he was there in attendance to show Luol Deng some love. And, of course, you know, Derek was there too on the court. And so it was nice. It was a nice, you know, nostalgic night to see Luol honored like that, to see him enjoy a reunion with a lot of his old Bulls teammates. And as a fan, it brought back a lot of happy memories. And I understand that for some younger Bulls fans, that, like, you know, those years, the baby Bulls and then the D. Rose, Joakim, Luol Deng Bulls is the best you have when it comes to nostalgia. You know, as someone who remembers the dynasty years, I don't feel as nostalgic about the, you know, D. Rose, Luol, Joakim Bulls as some of the younger fans and the fan base do, but I understand it. When you see what this team has endured from 1998 to now, and the hope that and the excitement and the complete dedication that the fans in this city felt to that team, and Joakim talked about it when he was interviewed by Leila Brahimi Wednesday night, that was a palpable feeling in the city. Bulls fans were excited and amped up and believed in a team and their championship potential. And it was really the only time that we felt that in the 20-plus years since the dynasty ended. So I get the nostalgia. And, as you know, as someone who largely thinks that we can't live in the past, Derrick Rose said that himself when he was interviewed by Will Perdue leading up to this game. When asked, you know, like, do you think that you would have won a championship if you hadn't gotten hurt? Derek said, you know, that's in the past. And for the most part, I agree that Bulls fans can't continue to dwell on that team and live in the past, and especially those who advocate for bringing all those guys back. We have to move on. On a night when the guy who's supposed to be your best player scores 5 points on 2 of 11, and cool, you beat the bad Pistons for your fifth win of the season, but you're 5-10, and Bulls fans would rather talk about nostalgia of the 2009 Bulls than talk about what's going on the floor right now, that frustrates me. Because I want to be winning now. I want more teams that we can fall in love with and dedicate ourselves to. And right now, what the product we're seeing on the floor does not deserve that. The product we're seeing on the floor right now doesn't look anything like something that we will be feeling nostalgic about 10 years from now. So, you know, that's the two sides of the coin as far as how I feel about this wave of nostalgia and these moments where D. Rose is in the house playing for a different team, or we're honoring a Bulls great from a decade that, yeah, was a lot of fun and we had a lot of good times and good memories from it. But ultimately, what's the farthest that you got? A 5-game bow out in the conference finals? It's tough to put that stuff in perspective when you think about how nostalgic the fan base feels about it. But I understand. I completely 100% understand. So it was nice to see Luol and a lot of that old crew in the building last night. Bulls have another tough one on deck. Let's see if they can make it 2 in a row. The Bulls have not won 2 games in a row yet this season as they sit at 5-10. But the East is so bad that even getting to 5-10 put them kind of back into the hunt of being quote unquote, in mid to late November, a playoff caliber team in the Eastern Conference. But our old friend Jimmy Butler and his pretty impressive so far this season Miami Heat are coming to town on Friday for the first end of a back-to-back. So that will be a big test. Let's see if Shaq Harrison gets another start. Let's see if we get any other updates on various players and their various injuries between now and tomorrow night. But until then, that will be all. For my partner, Jordan Malley, Matt Peck saying thanks as always for listening, Bulls fans. You can follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBulls, at Bulls_Peck, at Jordan C. Malley. Hit us up on that text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. And we will talk to you tomorrow. Peace out.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com